Amen. Thank you. I want to thank Brother Warren for the work that he has done and is doing in terms of his artistry and helping us to feel a little bit better about this time of season. I want to preach this morning about the term manger. The term manger. I don't know that I've ever heard a sermon on manger. So I want to thank the Lord for allowing me to step out on some new territory. And what brought me to this is actually before I started to research on it, Chante, and that is that out of everything that we associate with the nativity scene, and even Mary and Joseph coming to Bethlehem, most of it's tradition and not scripture. And that doesn't mean that it's not true, but it's probably more logical. For instance, there's no mention of a donkey. There's no mention of camels. There's no mention of many of the things that we may think about as associated with Christmas, of which I'm going to get to in just a second. But there's one thing that is hardcore evidence, and that's this manger. It is the only thing that I see. There are some angels around, but that's not hardcore evidence. You know, for us, it's good and it's warm fuzzies, you know, the singing of Hallelujah and Gloria. But I can't go back and talk to those angels. But the manger is something that is concrete. And what I want to justify to you this morning, that I believe that Jesus is still in the manger. Jesus is still in the manger. Now, I didn't say that he's a baby, but I believe that Jesus, according to the word of God, is still in the manger. And so we want to unpack what this manger is all about, because when you take all of the traditional stuff away, the only thing that you have is this manger. And it's mentioned three times in Luke 2, 1 through 18. Background of the scripture says that in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. So in this verse, Javier, we get a time span, so to speak, of when this whole thing happened. It was when Caesar Augustus was in leadership. It was when Caesar Augustus was over the Roman Empire. And we also know that this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So that now narrows our date down a little bit more. This is important for us to understand. And everyone went to their own town to register. Mary and Joseph were from a place called Nazareth. But because Joseph was from the line of David, he had to go back to Bethlehem, which was the prophesied place for him to register for their tax. So that sort of sets up the picture right there. It should be noted that the distance between Nazareth and Bethlehem is about 90 miles. Now, we like to think that Mary was on this donkey. Yeah, I like to think that she was having it pretty comfortable, but most people walked where they had to go during this time. And we don't know, because the scripture doesn't say how they got there. I think that's pretty important for us to understand, because so much of this story has nothing to do with comfort. So much of our tradition says that everything was nice and everything was calm and the weather was great. But for this time of year in Bethlehem, it was cold and it was raining and there was nothing comfortable about it at all. You got the picture? All right. So what do we need to know about this manger, about mangers? Number one, mangers hold something valuable. Mangers hold something valuable. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem. We've already showed you that. The town of David, because he belonged to that family. He belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Now, for you young people to understand that they weren't married yet in the sense that they were husband and wife as we know it. You remember I mentioned last week, I always mention about Cheryl and I having almost 54 years of marriage. Before we were married, we were engaged. Are you with me? They were in the engagement period. They were in the period of being pledged to one another because it took 12 months for you of being in engagement. That was the legal spiritual relationship before you actually got married. So there was no intimacy during this time. And this way, if a child came up, or if the woman especially became pregnant, then they knew that this was not something that the men had to go through. It was very patriarchal in terms of that. So I just wanted you to know they weren't shacking up, but they weren't married in the sense that they were, had already had this ceremony time. They were 12 months in, but the angel had come and told Joseph, take Mary home anyway. She is pregnant, but you take her home as if she is your wife. You treat her as if it's already a done deal. I'll deal with the people talking. I'll deal with them calling you out name. I'll deal with them saying, you know what? Mary is a, you know what? Don't you worry about that. You do your part. And I'll take care of the rest. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. If I could just stop there for just a moment, because there's a period there. I've learned something that when, not being a female, I don't understand all of this. I don't know what it feels like to be pregnant. But I will say this from what I do know is that when the baby starts coming down the birth canal, you can't stop it. That's it. If you're in the elevator, guess what? You're going to have that baby in the elevator. If you're in a cab, guess what? You're going to have that baby in a cab. So it would have been nice to be in the hotel. It would have been nice to be at the Marriott or the Holiday Inn or one of these nice places, but you see, there was no room available for them. And so she just had that baby. And by scripture, I'm not talking about what tradition says, because we don't even see a stable here. Y'all hear what I'm saying? We don't see any niceties at all. She just had a child outside, in the cold, in the harsh weather, in the challenging conditions, having just come 90 miles, y'all don't hear me. The next time you feel sorry for yourself, you need to think about this. The next time you feel like, you know what, I can't do this, you need to think about this. The next time you feel as if, you know what, things can't be worse, you need to think about this. Things could be a lot worse. The baby came. and she wrapped him in cloths. Now, where did they get these cloths from? I mean, we're outside. Where did we get these cloths from? Usually, cloths were used and left around because if you milked the goats or the cows, you needed cloth to clean the udders off. Are you with me? And so my assumption is that those were the only things, but those wouldn't have been comfortable because if you've ever had milk to spill on your clothes, you know that it's what? Smelly. It's hard. It makes it stiff. There is nothing comfortable about this kind of cloth on this baby. But they do it because there's no guest room available for them. There's no room in the inn. Do you have the picture? There's nothing comfortable about this scene at all. There is nothing that would say, oh, it's the best situation that could possibly happen. No, it is the worst situation. But I believe that God is trying to tell us something. And if we look at the evidence of what is in the picture that is tangible, the manger, we might discover a word from the Lord for us today. What are mangers for? Mangers were supposed to receive what? Food. Mangers were supposed to receive nourishment stuff for the animals. Mangers held that which gave sustenance, y'all don't hear me, that gave sustenance to the animals of the people. Jesus is in the manger. He is the bread of life. He is the living water. He is that will, there's nothing that will sustain you. There is nothing that will give you nutrition. There is nothing that will make you stronger like Jesus can. Can I get a witness? Do you see when you take away all of the tablets, there's no way that this baby is supposed to make it. The elements are against him. The culture is against him. Even the people, we're going to discover as we go on in our weeks that those who are in higher positions wanted to see him dead. But you see, when God wants to see you make it, when God wants to see you get to a place, even if it looks like the worst to everybody else, God can make it work for you. I got a feeling that Jesus is in that manger. A manger is nothing but a trough. A manger is a feeding place. And I got a feeling that Jesus is in that manger. And he's saying to himself, because you remember, he's a baby, but he's also God at the same time. I can work with this. It may not look like that much right now, but I can work with this. I can make this do. Don't you worry about me. Don't you be concerned about me, because you see, I'm trying to give you a message about what life can be for you. Don't focus on your hardships. Don't focus on your challenges. Don't focus on your difficulties. Those are the very things that will make you stronger if you trust that I can see you through. I am the bread of life. That manger was not something that was portable. Usually, and I tried to get a good picture of the manger here, manger was usually made out of clay. Or stone. It was stationary. And sometimes it was even hewn out of rocks. And so it stayed there. That manger is letting us know something. That this is the best that could be provided for Jesus at that time. No comfort. No ease of life. No peace. But everything that we try to get away from, Jesus is saying, I come into the world, into the toughest place. And if you have me in your life, then you can make it through your toughest place too. Can I get a witness? I believe there's some folk who are sitting up in here this morning. You're going through a tough spot. You're going through a hard spot. But remember that mangers are not valuable in and of themselves. They hold something of value. And Jesus is the most valuable thing in the whole wide world. He is my bread of life. Look at somebody and tell me, he is my bread. He is my living water. When I'm thirsty, cures my thirst. When I'm hungry, cures my hunger. Spiritually, there is nothing that can take the place of Jesus. He is way more valuable, and we need to understand this, way more valuable than the manger. Because sometimes we come to church, Sister Cleone, and our focus is on the manger, when really the focus ought to be on what's in the manger. And what's in the manger is our food for living. You know what's amazing, Deacon Brenda, is that they go to Bethlehem from Nazareth, and the word Bethlehem means bread or house of bread. House of bread. So you have them going, and mother and father going to the house of bread, Bethlehem, so that the bread of life can be put into a manger to give nutrition and strength for daily living. Can I get a witness? God Almighty. Number two, mangers are easily detectable. Now remember, manger is what? A manger is a feeding trough. It's just basically something to hold food or to hold water. But they're easily detectable. In other words, if you put a cow's manger over here, the pigs are probably not going to go to it because they are attracted to a different type of food. Are you with me? It's not so much that they understand the differences between troughs, but they understand the difference of what you put in the trough. Pigs like slop. Cows don't eat slop. Can I get a witness? It's the same thing with everything else. Mangers are easily detectable. Luke 2:8-9. And there were shepherds. A shepherd is the lowest person at this particular time. They are the lowest people in terms of socioeconomics. They work with sheep. They're basically dumb animal. And so people working with dumb animals, living out. They were living out in the fields nearby. So they were near Bethlehem, but not in Bethlehem. Very important. Keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." I want you to put a circle around that, verse 10, because we're going to come back to it in a minute. Very, very important. But verse 11, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, who is the Messiah, the Lord." Now, we don't know who these shepherds are. We don't know their names. We don't know what they believed. But the angel said, somebody has been born over there in Bethlehem, and he is for just the white people. Isn't that what he said? Oh, he didn't say that. There's somebody that's over there in Bethlehem, and he is for just the black people. Isn't that what he said? Oh, you mean to tell me there's somebody over there in Bethlehem born who is just for the Brazilian people, the Latina people? No, that's not Brazilian. Portuguese speaking people. No, he's for all the people, the lowest people, the darkest people, the lightest people, for men and for women, for people who are dealing with their gender identity. It doesn't matter who you are. He is born for all the people. This will be the sign for you. You know, this is really like gold. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. All right. Okay. I'm out here in the fields tending to my sheep, but he's got my attention. He's got my attention that this great birth is for me. It's for all people. It's a benefit. How many of you in here want joy? He just told you it's going to be what? Joy for all the people. I've been working with these sheep for the last 10 years. What I could use is a little bit more joy. And the angel just came and told me where the joy is. It's in a manger, in a trough, not at the Marriott. Not in a big mansion out there, but in a trough, that's where you'll find it. Now, that may not make a whole lot of sense to you, but you didn't find babies in troughs. People didn't put the baby in a trough. What did you put in trough? You put food for animals. Can I get a witness? But you see, the angel said, this is how you'll know. This is how you'll be able to detect what the joy is all about and who the joy is, because that's going to be the only trough that's holding a what? A baby wrapped in clothes. So you can't miss it. Now, there was about 300 people who lived in Bethlehem. They said 300 to 3,000. That's a lot of troughs to have to go look for. That's a lot of mangers to go look for. But you see, when you really want something, y'all don't hear me. When you're really hungry for something, when you really want to have your spirit filled, you're going to go out and you're going to search everywhere until you find it. The angel said you'll know when you found it because it'll be wrapped in cloth. A little baby, not grain, not water, not pig slop, but a little baby. Wrapped in old dirty cloth in a manger. I tell you today, if you want to find real joy, your joy is not in anything other than in Jesus Christ. Hear me, young people. There are many things that people will say that will make you have joy. Money. Can I get a minute? A boyfriend. Can I get a witness? That might give you a little joy, but it won't last very long. You ask some of the older people in here, right? Sometimes we fall out, even though we're in love. But there's only one thing that'll give you joy deep down in your heart. Can I get a witness? The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. It's detectable. You'll know it because you'll see a baby where it's not supposed to be. You know, one of the things that Jesus did before he left in John 14, everybody likes to quote the scripture where he tells the disciples, oh, don't be so sad. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And in my Father's house, there are many mansions. It's going to be all right. Don't look so sad. But when you look at John 13, when Jesus was with his disciples almost for the last time, he says, look, I'm getting ready to go away. He started preparing them already. I'm getting ready to go away. And what I need for you to do is I need for you to get an identity so that people will know that you represent me, that you are building on my foundation. They won't know you because you wear chains around your neck. They won't know you for me because you wear a collar around your neck. They won't even know you for me because you go to church every Sunday. They will know you for me because of the way that you love. And there's nothing that can beat that. They will know you by your love. If you want to know who's a Christian, who's not a Christian today, and everybody can say, and anybody can say that they have this down pat. But you look at how they love or don't love all people. You know, there's a lot of hate going on today, Maria. I mean, there's a lot of hate going on today. And a lot of it is being put out there by leadership. Don't love these people. Don't love those people. They come from a bad country. They come from a bad place. Let me tell you what. There are no good people and there are no bad people. They're just people. God knows that people can do some sinful things without the love. Can I get a witness? Without the love of God in them. You see, the manger with Jesus in it makes it detectable. It's easy to find. Can people look at your life and see it easy to find Jesus? The word says they'll know us by our what? By our love. The way you love. And if you don't have no love for people, or if you only have love for people who look like you, that's not the people. Can I get a witness? Number three, mangers are easily accessible. Now that goes back to the statement a minute ago. What did he tell the shepherds? That this joy that's been born is for who? It's for all people. It's accessible. You don't have to have no money. There's no charge to go in. I'd love to go see the Warriors play, but I can't afford it. There's no charge to get into the manger where Jesus is. It's free of charge. And guess what? You guys are the lowest of the low. You're broke down shepherds. But you can get in because Jesus is acceptable to you. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Now, you didn't get that, did you? I'm a shepherd. I'm out there working with nasty sheep all day long. Didn't nobody say, let's go get cleaned up. Let's go wash up first. Let's at least do like the wise men did and get us some clothes and frankincense and all this good stuff. No, they said, let's go. The sense of urgency. I've got to go. Some dirty folk going to see our King Jesus in a dirty place. You know, you have to ask yourself the question, who cut the cord when Jesus was born? Who cleaned him up? You know, if any of you have ever seen birth before, I've seen it four times. They don't come out looking like y'all look. And it's a, you know what? They usually say, let me clean them up first. Let us get them cleaned up first. Jesus, there was nobody there, according to scripture, but Joseph and Mary. Joseph is cutting the cord, but I'm sure Mary's holding her baby. She's giving love to him, even though he still has the birth on him. Can I get a witness? Kind of makes you feel like, oh, I never thought about it like that, but he wouldn't have been smelling too good. There would have been nothing about him that was looking pretty, because usually y'all come out looking wrinkled. Me too, when I came out. But they said, let's go. Let's go now. So they hurried off and they found Mary. They found who? They found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying where? Oh, can you see him? I hear baby over here crying outside here late. It's cold out. This must be the place. I wonder if they'll let us in. They couldn't get in the inn, but they wonder if we can get in to see them. You see, sometimes folk won't let you in because their place is too nice. It's too clean. But you see, Mary and Joseph were receiving guests because they've just been blessed with the greatest blessing of all kind, all time. And that's Jesus, the Christ. Oh, everybody come. Everybody come. You know, usually when you have a child, you wait until you get the child cleaned up first, right? Because you want folk to see the baby, but you don't want them to see. Come on. Because you see, this is God come in the flesh. Are y'all with me this morning? Who was lying in the manger? So first thing, mangers hold something that is valuable. Mangers are detectable. Mangers are accessible. Number four, mangers are easily now believers. Y'all hear me? You a manger. You're a manger. You're a manger. You're a manger. You're a manger. You hold the bread of life. You hold the greatest thing that has ever been given to humankind, that is food for your soul. You and I hold God through our belief. Check this out. When they had seen him, you know, they didn't even talk to him. Rashawn, they didn't even talk to Jesus. They didn't even talk to Mary and Joseph. But when they seen him, they immediately did what? Oh, we've got to go tell somebody. Oh, we've seen. This is it. There is nothing that even comes close to it. They immediately wanted to share what was now a part of their life. You have to remember something. They had gotten a word from who? They got a word from heaven. They got a word from God. That is the one. Have you gotten a word? You read that Bible every week. Have you gotten a word? Has it stirred your heart so that you want to go out and tell somebody? Have you gotten the word? The living word and the written word. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. I never thought about it like that. I am the manger of the living God today. For he is living in me. I've got to keep this manger clean. He wasn't born into one clean, but I'm going to keep my manger clean. I'm going to keep my manger pure. I'm going to keep my manger in such a way that when people see me, they say, yeah, that is a place that is worthy of Jesus wanting to live. And I can learn his word. And guess what? His word helps me to come and feed you. Y'all don't hear me. If I got up here on a Sunday morning and I preached other than his Bible, I'm sure there's some folks who would go out of here and say, we're starving. We're still hungry. You didn't open up the word of God with the, that is the only thing that will give me nutrition for this week. That is the only thing. I got a feeling somebody had asked the shepherds, you know, because they was excited, wasn't they? Could you tell us why you so excited? I got a feeling the shepherds would say, you know what? I thought you never asked. You see, he lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives in me. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives in me. You ask me how. I know he lives. I'm a witness. He lives within my heart. I'm the manger today. I hold and you hold. Oh, what a precious responsibility. God in our lives. Isaiah 64, as we close, says, yet you, Lord, our Father, we are the what? We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. We are made to hold precious things. That's why you go to school. That's why we send you to Harvard and to MIT, so that you can get some words in you. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's no word that is greater than the word of God. Can I get a witness? Am I right about it? If I'm right about it, stand to your feet. Let these young people know that you are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let them know that I'm a manger and that you need to take care of your manger. You are the temple of the living God. Don't just use your temple in any way. Don't just use your manger in any way, but use it according to the way that God says. May it be sanctified. May it be a holy life that is pleasing to God. Did I preach the truth this morning? Jesus is still in the manger. Look at the person next to you and say, you the manger. You're the manger. Christ is living. He's been laid in you. He's not in everybody. Only believers. Come on, tell me. Yeah, they hold food. Jesus is what? He's the bread of life. He is the living water. You will know us by our what? Not our clothes. Not the house we live in. Not the car we drive. By our love. Just some people. Yeah, all the people you hate. He's open. Number four. End of story. Now what you do with your manger, what you do with your life, because you see, the manger is not God. The manger is not Jesus. There is nothing special about the manger. Just like that manger then, you are a piece of clay. Inside of you. Not dogs, not rabbits. You and I have been chosen to be the humble abode of Jesus Christ. Open your mouth, your heart, and mind, and do what? Feed the people. I have the nourishment. You know, it is a crime to withhold food from starving people. It's a crime if you have it within your power. The doors of the church are open. I'm going to ask our music ministers to come.